Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Nida Daf Tes. We begin on the Ches Amud Beis at the Tanur Rabbanan, which is five lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. Back to the Mishnah. Eimu Uberes. An Isha who is expecting is presumed to be blood-free. The likelihood of having a sighting is slim, in which case we suspend the me'es la'es concept, the exemptor from being tummy for the previous 24 hours, meaning she notices something, the concern only applies to that moment, going forward, but not going back. Tanur Rabbanan, here comes an interesting price. Harish ha'isa b'cheskas mu'beres. A woman is noticeably pregnant. Verasadam, but then she notices some dam. So far, standard, right? So the concern only applies going forward. No mesle is applied to a muberes. But then what happens? V'chakachi pila rach. She miscarries something which is not considered a successful birth. Miscarries this fetus, undeveloped fetus, which is full of air. Or another form of a non-viable birth. What's her status? Doesn't matter. The fact is, she had the status of a mu'beres, irrespective of the outcome. Harehi b'ches kaso v'dayesha ato. She still maintains that mu'beres status with respect to dayesha ato. Suffice to be concerned about that moment going forward. Do not apply the tumor retroactively. Rashi explains, we don't say, well, it's been now discovered that it wasn't really a legitimate ibur, and we should apply tumor to those taharas that she had come to contact with in the last 24 hours. Well, the fact is, she exhibited the signs and the symptoms of a standard mu'beres. She's presumed to be period free and qualifies for dayashat. Continues the Braisa with some sort of proof to this concept that even an unsuccessful birth justifies mu'beres status prior to that experience. Although we couldn't really come up with them real proof to this point, but zecher l'davar, we have an indication that it qualifies. So now we have a pasuk regarding Kol Yisrael. Harinu chalnu kemo yaladnu ruach. We figured we're experiencing birth pangs. We thought we were going to give birth to full redemption. We're going to experience a freedom of galus. Yaladnu ruach. It didn't really pan out. It ended up being a ruach. Apparently, even unsuccessful outcome still justifies, still substantiates expectancy status prior to that experience. Ask the Gemara, why are you minimizing? Why is it just a hint? It appears to us like a real confirmed proof to this point. Pasuk considers it to be mu'beres despite an unsuccessful outcome. The answer is because the Pasuk is really speaking about men, which in any case don't really experience pregnancy. It's just a loose analogy. Kiksev haikorb zecharem ksev, it's talking about zecharem, so it's just a loose reference. It's enough for an indication, but not a raya. But in any case, the Braisa does conclude as such, that even though the mu'beres, which appear to us like a regular healthy mu'beres of a healthy child, ends up miscarrying, etc., nevertheless, she's granted mu'beres status irrespective of the outcome. V'ramini, now comes a kasha from a braisa, which seems to say otherwise. We do reckon with the outcome. Kasha sashnayim. So we had this yesterday, right? So a woman who has dam during the days of ziva, she becomes tummy. 3 days in a row, she's a sava gedoyla, she has to bring a special carbon, but not if it can be attributed to the upcoming birth. Because in that case, the dam was triggered by some external, factor, i.e. birth, and therefore it does not affect her tahara status. Kashasa, she experienced birth pangs of the upcoming birth. Shnayim, and she had dam today, tomorrow, together with the birth pangs. Ulu Shlishi, and likewise on Tuesday. After seeing the dam for the third day in a row, he pila ruach, akadav Hashem shakayam. She miscarried, etc. What's her status? Shall we say that she's tahor? Because her sightings can be attributed to this birth-like experience, which is a redeeming factor. No, harezu yoledes b'zoiv. She's a yoledes in tandem with a ziva status. She's tummy. The question is why? V'amr zleidem al yasihi, according to you, that it's considered a proper birth, irrespective of its unviable, nature during the next amid. So why not count it as a birth? And why not be metayer that dam? Koishi samchul leida rachmana tahariya tira was metayer dam accompanied by birth pangs which lead into a birth. There's two qualifies. Omra papi, it does not qualify unless it's a proper healthy birth. The reason why in the earlier discussion we did grant her status despite the unsuccessful culmination of her pregnancy, that is because we were speaking about Meis Leis, which to begin with is only a rabbinic concern, so we allow ourselves the liberty to be lenient on that. Amar Papi Hanach, leave aside Meis Leis, which is only the Rabbanim. Rapapa Amar, I'll give you the reason why. Meis Leis is not applicable even in these cases. Look at the reason. What's the basis for her being exempt from Meis Leis? Because of the unlikelihood of her seeing dam. Because when she's expectant, her system changes, her hormones shift, and it gets diverted from the blood producing. There's no period typically by Muberes. So this woman also exhibited signs and symptoms of a Muberes. For all practical purposes, she's a regular Muberes, irrespective of the outcome of that pregnancy. So regarding Meis Leis, we can apply it to her, no problem. Despite fact that technically it was not a proper birth. In which case, the halacha of Kisha, the next price, will not apply. A papa amar midihu taima. Isn't the reason, ela mishum deroisha kavod ola, her head is heavy on her. It's an expression meaning she's in a weakened state overall. Viva around her limbs, kved nola, achanami, here as well. Roisha viva rea, kved nola. So she qualifies for an exemption of Meis Leis. Boy, vene rabbi yirmiya, he had a question, rabbi zera. Wasn't it this interesting case, Rasa? She noticed them, and then soon after, her pregnancy became confirmed, became noticeable. What would you say in this case? Do we apply Meis Leis to that original sighting, which had occurred prior to confirmation of her expectant status? She wasn't fully Roisha covered Aleha, right? Or shall we say, close is close enough. Mao, kivid the bidna the chazoi, since when she noticed the dam, loya uka ubra, her ubra was not yet noticeable, mitami, she's tamim es leis, idim, or shall we say, close enough. It qualifies, kivid the samach lachazoi, since she saw it close enough to the noticeability, la mitamiya, there's no es leis. Amalei says, look, it was not yet confirmed, doesn't qualify. Midi hu taimma. Isn't the reason el mishum the roisha kovid aleo, veivareo, vein aleo? So she has to get to that point. She hadn't got to that point yet. That only happens when it's huka ubra. When it got, developed to the point where we say, okay, no more periods. Bidin d'chazoi, the fact is, in this case, the moment of her sighting was not at a moment where her pregnancy had been, confirmed, had arrived at that level of development which ceases the dam. Bin dechazoi ein roisha kavod aleo vein evirei kved aleo. Boy minay usaba, this elder scholar asked me, Rabbi Yochanan, suppose igia es vesta b'meibura, this woman had a regular expected period. She had a set schedule. Aisha sheish lavest, she expected her period 15th day of the month. And that day arrives in the midst of her pregnancy. For Le Botkan, she failed to examine herself, which is typically what she would do on the day of Vest. Ma, what's her status? shall we say, look, she's expected to see Dom during the day of rest. She's Tame. Or shall we say, the Iwer factor counteracts that. It's unlikely for her to see Dom. Now, coming by the Aliba de Manda Omar Vesta Stei Raisa, I can pose my question according to both viewpoints. Whether if you hold that the concept of expecting the Dom on the day of that period is a deraisa concern, Rashi says, halacha l'mishmi sinai. If you fail to do a bedikah, you're presumed to be tamei. It's so expected, so anticipated, that it actually changes your status, despite not even having noticing the dam. So what happens in our case? My, given the vestas deraisa, since we say it's so serious, boy bedikah, she requires a bedikah even when she's expectant, which is really a mitigating factor. Or shall we say, no, given the memus luck, and since her blood is considered removed, abolished, presumed to be not there during the Ibur, no bidika is required. Amalei, he says, Tani. So we have a discussion in the Mishnah about it. Ramea Omer, in Moisib Machvoy, she was in hiding. A woman was in a state of fear, of attackers, of etc. Vigesh Asvesta, the day of her expected period arrives. Vilei Botkin, she failed to check. To Haira, she maintains her Tahara status because fear and trepidation counteracts her period. Misalekas Adam removes that blood. End of halacha. Let's analyze this halacha further. Time of Dikah Harada. Apparently, it's only because of that fear factor that we discount the possibility of the arrival of Adam. Halakha Harada, but in the absence of the Harada factor, Vigia Vesta, and her vest does arrive. Veloy Batka, she failed to check Tmeh. Mishnah implies that she would be Tame, sans the trepidation, you know, factor. Alma, apparently, what do we see from his position? That Vest is Deraisa, that he's going with the opinion that Vest is Deraisa. So, if you fail to check on the day of the Vest, you're presumed to be Tame. Nevertheless, when you have a fear element present, that counteracts it and negates the Vestes factor. But given Dika Harada, the Mem Salak and blood is presumed to be gone. Believe by Dika, Dika is not required. Oh, and now we're saying with the Muberes, even if Vesta is serious as they rise, the Mem Salak and believe by Dika, the fact is she's presumed to be blood free, in which case Dika is not required. Okay, so we concluded our discussion regarding Muberes, who's considered Musulak as dumb and blood free. To the point that if she sees Dom, it's only Tommy going forward. There's no Meisleis applied to this woman. It only starts once it gets to a certain stage of development, which is 3 months into the pregnancy. Hukar Ubro. The whole discussion of whether nowadays Ramesh Feinstein has a tshuva about if through ultrasound they confirm that she's Muberes, whether or not she has a status. Kivega seems to say not. And whole discussion about it. Some say that it's not a question of knowing about it, even if there is knowledge, but the fact is she has to get to a certain stage of you know, development in order for the system to shift. Okay, whole discussion in the Paiskim about it. The Gemara says that this exemption applies irrespective of how successful the birth actually was. And we had an interesting question of she saw, and then she was confirmed to be Muberes, what happens there, and the fact that the Muberes factor negates the obligation for Bedika, even Bishas Vest. Okay, let's move on to the next exception, which is a Menika. Menika Chetigmo Vachu, a nursing mother, is also presumed to be dam-free, and exempt from Meisleis. We had two opinions in the Mishnah as to what qualifies as Menika with respect to this discussion. Is it that for the next 24 months following the birth, it's a time issue? She's presumed to be blood-free, irrespective of whether she's actually nursing, or is it dependent upon the nursing phenomenon? In which case, perhaps it could extend past 2 years, as long as she's still nursing. On the flip side, if she stops nursing before, she loses that status, even though it's very close. And following the, you know, the birth. So you have two opinions on that. Turn her up on them. Menika, a nursing mother, she may spin up to Esmer Arba Chodesh. new infant. Loyalina passes away within 24 months. Okay, so she loses that status. She's not going to say like any other woman. She has a siding. She's tummy, you know, for the previous 24 hours or to the previous examination. Therefore, since it's dependent upon actually nursing, she happens to be nursing on and on 4 or 5 years. Okay, so then again, she loses that the meisle is concerned. It's all about whether she's nursing or not. It can go l'chumra. It could shorten the allowance. It could lengthen the allowance. It goes both ways. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, they say no, dayan shat. Kol esrim arba chodesh. It's a 24-month, you know, pass. Irrespective of nursing or not. Lefich, therefore, by extension, ma'isam nekosa arba chamesh shalom mitamais leis, b'kidu b'kida. She happens to be nursing past that point. It doesn't benefit her. She's still going to be mitamais leis. Explains the Gemara. By analogy, it's as follows. Kishatim tzalayim, if you'll analyze the opinions, it turns out like this. Liver of Meir, according to a Meir, his position is that the reason why she's exempt from Eis Leis, the reason why the likelihood of her experiencing Dam is very slim during the nursing period is because the actual blood turns into milk. So it's diverted to blood, to milk, and not available for a regular, you know, period sighting. Dam Nekar, the blood within her, clouds, so to speak, it gets transformed into milk, Nasa Cholof. And therefore, it's all dependent upon whether she's nursing or not. So the act of nursing is what makes it happen. Interesting, so some Svarim explained that it's a transformation from Din to Chesed. Blood is red, represents the concept of judgment and exactness, and in this case it gets transformed to milk. Milk is white, symbolizes chesed, generosity, kindness, which the Isha is engaged in when she's nursing, providing, sustaining her own infant. Beautiful shot. So going to her mayor, it's all about whether she's nursing or not. And it can go both ways. She stops nursing before 20, stops there. If she continues past, it goes on and on. However, the Rabbi, you see, Rabbi the Rabbi Shimon, that's not the basis for this halacha. Rather, it's because the trauma of the birth experience affects her for the next 24 months, irrespective of whether she's nursing or not. Evorea, mispark, and everything just, you know, disassembles, comes apart. Vein nafshachizeres, ala, her nefesh. In this case, it means her blood, which is the essence of her life force, does not really get fully restored and back on track until 24 months are up, whether or not she's nursing. Ades from Rabbi Chodesh. Ask Gemara Lefichach to Rabbi Meir Lamali. Let's go back to the wording of the Brice. Rabbi Meir clearly says that it's dependent upon whether she's nursing or not. So if she stops within 24 months, her exemption is over. So why does the Brice have to add Lefichach? Therefore, if it extends past 24... Well, it's obviously the case, because that's the factor to consider, right? You're right, that's a little bit unnecessary. The Braisa referred to the Rabbi Meir in that sense because on account of Lefich Rabbi Yosi, so it presented it, you know, sort of a matching. Why does the Braisa in fact have to expound on Rabbi Yosi as well? Basically says it's all about 24 months, and therefore lefichach, she decides to nurse past 24 months, she doesn't have this exemption. It goes without saying, it's obvious. I mean, the answer is like this: ma'oda tema. There's room to mistakenly understand that Rabbi Yosi tartiously. Rabbi Yosi really holds up both factors: the 24 month, you know, post birth trauma period, and the nursing factor as well. And goes both ways. Whichever one's working for you can be applied to you. Kamash Mantavon says no. The exclusive factor to consider is the 24-month period. Done deal. The nursing factor is not a factor at all. That's what the Brisa sought to highlight. And that's why I mentioned Lefichach, and I'll counter that, also mentioned Lefichach by Reb Meir. Tanna Mihach, we find the same in the Brisa, that these are the factors to consider. Dam Nekav Nasachod Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, it's about the blood transforming into milk, so it's all about whether she's nursing. Reb Yisi Aymer, it's the 24-month weakness that follows the birth. What does Rameer see that the dam transforms into chalav? Interesting, concept. Where do we find it in a source, a Torah source? The chsivei of pasuk in Iyov. Mi itain. Who has the ability to turn tahar from tameh? Tahar mitameh. Isn't it only one? Only Hashem has the ability to transform bad to good, to take the same material that is tamei and make it into tor. Only Hashem. And that's the dam. The dam, which is the tamei, which is not kosher, turning into chalav. Only Hashem could do that. Apparently there's such a phenomenon going on. When? By a nursing woman, whose dam turns into chalav. V'rabban, now the other rabban, who did not have this concept, and he explains that they apply the pasuk to Shechva Zera, which turns into a holy person. Zu Shechva Zera, the seed, Shu Tamei, which technically is Tamei, one touches it's Tamei. V'adam Anitz Menator, the person formed from the Zera, is the holiest of holy. For Rabbi Lazar, he has a different shot in the pasuk. Eli Mehanida, these are the waters of the Paraduma. Mehanida, Rashi Chumash says, sprinkled, right? Sprinkled the waters. Where we find an irony. On the one hand, it's metame. If you unnecessarily play with it, it makes you tame. But if it's used in context, if you used to spray on a person who needs it, it makes them tar. So it goes in both directions. It has an element of tumah, but then it can produce tahar. Only Hashem can do that. Shamaz umazan olav tar. The person who's sprinkling it properly and the one who's receiving the sprinkling is tar. But when if you just touch it for no good reason, you become tame. Ask the one who mazat tar, really the one who's sprinkling it, remains to her unaffected. Has to wash his clothing. His clothing become tummy as well. Not only him. My maza negeya. Maza just means a person who just plays with it. The pasuk speaks about both. The one who sprays it, the one who touches it. Apparently, both are affected. Furthermore, maza, we find a clear difference between a maza and a negeya. Apparently, they're two different people. Maza boy yikibus, but the maza says it affects his clothing as well. Negeya loy boy yikibus. If you just touch it, the pasuk doesn't say your clothing become tummy. Elamai maza noise. The answer is, no, when a person formally sprinkles it for a purpose, he's not affected. Only if you touch it unnecessarily, or when it says maza, it just means noisy, you carry it unnecessarily. So why does it say maza if it just means to carry? Zuchtev noisy should say, you carry it. The point is, you have to carry an amount which is suitable for sprinkling. It's just to give you the threshold amount. Kamashwan the adador until he carries kashir, the amount of water, hazor, that can be sprinkled. Only then do you become tummy by carrying it. So bottom line is like this. Is the paraduma water metayr or not? It's metayr if it's used constructively. The person who needs it gets sprayed, or the person spraying it on him, no problem. If you just touch even a drop, you become tamei. If you anoise, you lift the qualifying amount, then you and your begotten become tamei. But when we speak about qualifying amount, is it really a qualifying minimum amount of water to be considered functional? According to the opinion that there is a minimal amount for the water, in order to be for the water to be successful, so then it makes sense where there's a shear to talk of. According to the opinion, there is no shear, even a droplet works. Michael Lemmer said, why are you referencing an amount? Answer is, even according to the opinion that even a droplet can be matar a person, it's only on the back of the person. I mean, the person gets a droplet on him, he's tar, but all agree that in the kli itself, when you dip the grass, you have to have a minimum amount there. But sure, you need a minimum amount. It's not as we have an emission. What's considered enough water to qualify for azor? Enough to dip in the tips of the grass and sprinkle. So, again, ironically, the paraduma water has a double effect. It can take a person who is heavily tamei and make him tar. On the other hand, the flip side, it can take a person who would tar, make him tame. So on this irony, Shlomo HaMelech exclaimed his famous exclamation, back in Koheles. I thought I got it, and I see it so far beyond human grasp. I thought I achieved wisdom. I became a chacham. But in reality, I see the true wisdom, the depth of Hashem's chacham, rechoika, so distant, many beyond my comprehension. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Another exemption to Meis Leis is a Cana. A senior woman who is presumed to be postmenopause and blood free. Is always a Cana. How do you qualify for Zakena status? Aside from the age factor, she also ceased for three oinos, for three, you know, cycles. So we have two conditions that have to be met: the age factor and cessation of periods for three times. How do you qualify? How do you define someone who's a knasa? Is it an exact, you know, specific age? Says the Gemara, no, actually, listen to this. It depends on the local, you know, cultural, environmental, communal perspective. A woman whose friends refer to her as a zakena. You know she's there. You know, sometimes a person carries themselves young, but if she's discernibly a senior, a zakena, that confirms it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he tells you like this, Tantan Beis. Similar thing, but slightly different. Kosha Karen La Ima Ima. A woman who's being called Ima Ima. Mother, mother. Some explain that this is the way they used to refer to a grandmother. She doesn't take offense. She doesn't get insulted. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak. They elaborated on this. Chada Amar Kosha Ina Makpedis. Only a woman who is not particular about being called an ima ima. She doesn't get agitated. But perhaps inside she feels bad. But as long as she's not expressing it openly, she qualifies. V'chada, my own explains, no. It has to be genuine. Kol she'ina boisha. Only one who's not offended, not doesn't feel bad. When referred to by this title, my benai, what's the difference between these two approaches, makpedes or boisha? It could be the difference between boisha and makpedes. Let's say she doesn't voice her position. She's not makped openly, but deep inside, she's not comfortable with it. So according to one opinion, it works. According to the other, it doesn't. So that's the first factor to consider. Has she achieved seniority? Number two, that she failed to see dam three oinos in a row. Now, how long is an oino? Become oino. Amar shlokim shumar b'dinasiya. Oino b'ninus. It's your typical, you know, average cycle, which is 30 days shleishim yon. V'rova amar rav chiz de esrim yon. Each oino is 20 days. There really is no machleik. It's a different reference point. Please, no machleik. It's marka hashim meituma v'etahara. The one who says 30 covered the full cycle, including the meituma, which Rashi says is a total of 10 days. The may need a 7, the may ziva 3, so altogether it's 30. V'mar loy chashev metuma. Whereas Rav Chizda spoke about 20 days in total per cycle. He meant without the metuma, but in reality, they're both talking about a full cycle, which is about 30 days. The reason why I say it about is because of the big machlekes in the Paiskim, whether it's always exactly 30, or is it depending on the month, a short month, 29 days, and long month is 30. Chalik is an halacha. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, over to Zakena. Who's a confirmed Zakena? Presumed to be down free. And suddenly she starts experiencing it again. Not as often as she used to, perhaps, but she has, you know, longer cycles, less down, but nevertheless, it's recurring. After she was a confirmed zakena, an exempt from Eis L'Eis, she goes through three oinis, let's say, you know, 90 days, and she sees done, Dayashat. Okay, she qualifies for a zakena, Dayashat. We're concerned only about that moment going forward. Let's say it repeats itself again. It happened again. She went through three cycles without it. And then suddenly she sees Dayashata. Once again, she's Dayashata. Now it happened yet a third time. She goes back and considers herself like anybody else. So Matame is late, Kido, she's Tame the previous 24 hours, etc. Because apparently she's back on track. Although her period is coming, less often. But nevertheless, she seemingly has some sort of cycle, and she's back to Mei's slaves. And the Brisa continues, Velosha Kivna, we're not talking that these three experiences followed an exact pattern, 90 days and 90 days. It wasn't exactly the same. It was, one time 89, one time day 91. Nevertheless, she's indicating that she has a regular cycle, and she's Matame Meis Leis. And a Braisa. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Afilu Pichsa? Even if the cycle was a bit shorter or longer, for when we boy Kivna, and goes without saying, obviously, if it was exact, 90, is that what the Brisa means to say? Adrabah, if anything, it's exactly the opposite. Ki kivna. Because if she developed a very regular, predictable cycle, 90 days, kavala vesta, she now established a regular period, with ayishata. And if anything, that's a mitigating factor again, because once she has a regular, expected schedule, then again, Meis Leis is suspended. We know it's coming on this day, not before. So why does the Brisa indicate that if it's Kavna, certainly, if it's Kivna, certainly she has Meis Leis. If anything, just the opposite. Chitam of Rapshel say, if you recall, it's a big machlekes by Isha that has a regular cycle, whether she has Meis Leis applied to her or not. Chitam of Rabbanami, perhaps it's the Rabbanon speaking, who apply Meis Leis even to an Isha that has a vest. The Pliyuli Rabbi Deisa, this who is Rabbi Deisa, the Amri they hold, Isha, even Sheish Lavest, even Isha with a predicted period, Metam Meis Leis, Slaz Meis Leis. Well, if that's the case, if the Brisa should have presented its halacha differently. The other way, Valema, the Brisa should say, look, don't think Meis Leis is only applied if the experiences were not following a perfect pattern. It was 89, it was 91, 93. Even if it was repetitive 90, in which case it was an established, fixed schedule, Meis Leis will apply. That's how the Brisa should present it, if in fact that's the viewpoint we're following. You're right. Tanei will revise, will adapt the words. Not only if it's uneven, if it's exactly repetition, still Meis Leis will apply. You say another way to understand the Brisa. The Brisa means like this. The Brisa says like this. Modified. No, not. If it's exact repetition. Meis Leis will not apply in that case, because then she has a set schedule, a set rhythm. There's no Meis Leis. Ella only Shabbos Leisir, only if it's irregular. Avol Kivna, but if it's exactly the same over and over again, Kabbalah Vest, Vadayashat, I'm going to be Daisy, going to Krab Daisy. She has only Dayashat in that case, because we know when it's coming. Rabbi Lezo, I'm Kalisha Shavar Leo. Rabbi Lezo takes it a step further, not only by Yezek Kena, who had a cessation 3 months in a row, even a regular woman who ceased for 3 months in a row, there goes Meis Leis. We're only concerned about that moment going forward. Tanya, oh, my Rabbi Lezel Chacham, it turns to Chacham Masa, I'll prove my position with a story. Be Rivachas, young woman, be Islam, this town, history, Shepsika Shalashems, who had this 3 month cessation, Uba Masa, the story was presented, Lefne Chacham Barma, they said, Dayashata. Amr Lois, they told him, Inshasat Hakra, you can't prove from a time of difficulty. Times were tough. They had to be lenient. Why? My shasat chak. Igdam some say shnei batzer savul. Times of famine. So they had to allow themselves this leniency. Rather than apply tumma to the items that she had touched, the last 24 hours, because it was sorely needed. Some say Taharis Avish Lavita, she was involved in much Tahara, she was catering a wedding. And therefore, Chashur Rabban left the Tahara. Rabban was concerned about disqualifying all those Taharis, so because of the pressing circumstances, they applied a leniency. But typically, you don't say that. Just because an Isha didn't see for 3 months doesn't change her halach. Tan Rabban. Further on this topic, we had this Gemara a couple of days ago, word for word, Masav Asa Rebbe Kerub Lezer. So it happens that Rebbe Pasan Kerub Lezer, in which case, in a regular story of a woman who had a cessation for 3 months, and then she had a sighting, he did not apply Tumah to the item that she had touched the last 24 hours. That's what he did initially. Then he said, ooh, Lachash Niska reminded himself. What did he remind himself? We'll see in a minute. Amar says, okay, you know what? Instead of reversing, let's just stick with it. K'tayu, Rabbi Eliezer, a time of difficulty, Rabbi Eliezer is worthy of relying on. Now, what exactly happened? My Lachash Niska, what did he remind himself about? Ilema, shall we say Lachash Niska, he recalled, Dainok Rabbi Eliezer, Elk Rabbaran, that the Allah follows Rabban, not Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if it's an established ruling, how could you go the other way? Just because his times are tough, how could you go to Rabbi Eliezer, which is contrary to the halacha? Ella, rather, truthfully, there was no real conclusion in terms of which opinion to adopt. So what did he recall? Lachashaniska loved Yachid Palagalei. He recalled that rather than an individual challenging Rabbi Eliezer, it was the multitude, El Rabim Pligalei, with the Rabim. And the halacha is when you have an individual against the Rabim, we're meant to follow the individual. So it wasn't really a clear cut halacha concluded, not like Rabbi Eliezer, but the general, directed general formula would point to the Chachamim as the correct opinion. So that's what he recalled. Amar, he says, despite the fact that I just realized that it was a rabbin, nevertheless, we'll stick with it, K'dayu Rabbi Eliezer, to rely on him, L'smechal B'shaz Adchak, and he stuck to it, and he speared those items from Tumah. Okay, we'll leave it for tomorrow, Reza Hashem. So today we discussed three women who are exempt from Eisleis, Muberes, we discussed at what point she qualifies for that status at 3 months, and the reason being, in which case, even if it turned out to be an unsuccessful birth, she still qualifies. We said Muberes is exempt from doing Ibdika B'Shas Vest, even if Vestas Day Raisa, because the Muberes factor counteracts that concern. What is the reason why Minika is exempt from Eis Leis? Why is it unlikely for her to see down? We have two approaches. Either it's a trauma issue, which lasts 24 months, irrespective of whether she's nursing, or it's a nursing driven phenomenon, which case that's what it depends on. Go Lakula could shorten the time frame, it could lengthen the time frame if she's nursing past 24 months. That interesting pasuk, meet in term Tamilay Echad, which was applied either to the fact that the dam turns into Chala, Shalazer is Mitzar a person, or the Paraduma water, which is Mitar, at the same time can be Mitame as well. Amati Echkamavi Rechaikim Emeni. Hazakena requires two elements, age recognition and cessation of Riyah for three Oinais. We discussed that Hazakena can revert back on track, if in fact she has multiple Riyahs, which indicate that she's back on track. And we have the Machlekes, Rabbi Lezer says that every Yisho ceases for 3 months is now exempt from Eis Leis. Chacham disagree, and Rebbe, in fact, Paskin like him, and likewise in the story of Hislay, and it was because of Shah Sadchak. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.